you're on the front porch. This week we'll talk about tariffs. Are they good or bad for West Virginia and Appalachia? And we'll discuss the future of the front porch itself. I'm Scott Finn, outgoing Grand Poobah at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, incoming dog catcher at Vermont Public Radio. I'm joined by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Jesse Troyan, economist and development director at the Cardinal Institute, a free market think tank here in Charleston. Hey.
Hey, Scott.
All right. So let's do tariffs first.
But Scott, I'm hanging on by my fingernails, you know. I'm quivering with anticipation. Yeah. But yeah, whatever. We can do tariffs. Whatever.
Let's do the topic first, okay. And then the self-referential stuff later. Jesse, I assume that you're like pro-tariff, right? It's a great idea.
Absolutely not. You know, from a purely economic perspective, it's basically a tax on imports. So anything you get from overseas, it costs you more simply because you bought it not in America. That feeds down into how much you pay for your stuff.
Including other manufacturers in West Virginia that also rely on steel to make their products. And a lot of this, Jesse, is predicated around the fact that this is a tactic. I don't think there's many people that are arguing that the tariffs by themselves are good. But if they finally make the Chinese behave, if we can threaten them to the point where they actually start to follow the trade rules, or when they stop trying to steal American technology, that maybe it'll be worth the danger of threatening a tariff. What do you say to that?
I think some of these political calculations, that there may be some grains of truth to that. I can say that from a purely economic standpoint, it is not going to sort of achieve, I think, the outcomes that we think that it might.
Kind of playing with fire is the problem here. You don't know what might happen.
Yeah, we're flying a little close to the sun, and those wings might get burned off.
You know, I feel like Mercutio and Romeo and Juliet, a plague on both your houses. I mean, I understand concern about people wanting more things to be produced here, absolutely. And I'm not blanketly against tariffs. They've been a part of the country for a long time. Bush increased steel tariffs. Reagan had tariffs. There were tariffs. Almost every rich country in the world benefited from tariffs when they were growing their industries. But yeah, I think it's a clumsy instrument now to do the kind of things that people say they want to do. So I think the real problem is the way trade deals are negotiated. I'd like to see them emphasize more workers' rights, you know, environmental sustainability, transparency, democratic rights of local communities. I think that would be a more promising way to get to where we need to be.
You know, and I just heard a really fascinating Planet Money podcast on Smoot Hawley.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
And it was fascinating to me because at the time, Congress imposed tariffs. They wanted to do a targeted tariff on a couple of items. All these different industries started lobbying Congress and saying, I want a tariff too. And they put tariffs on a whole bunch of stuff. And then it created a trade war situation that basically helped slow down the economy. And so one of the things that came out of that eventually were reforms that allowed the president to have more direct control over tariff making and take some of that power away from Congress, have it delegated from Congress. Of course, we see the impact of that now with Donald Trump and what he's doing. It's one of the few things a president can do without having to go through a whole bunch of steps.
And one thing, I mean, to think about it, that is, you know, it's a basic, whatever you do to your opponent, they can probably do to you if the conditions are right. So that is one risk with that.
You get the last word as the Free Market Institute. What do you think is going to happen with all this? What do you want to have happen, Jesse?
I'm hoping that kind of just all of it fades away. And Rick has shined some light on some interesting things in your chat right now just about Smoot Hawley, that all of a sudden, as soon as one industry or one company group, whoever the favored child might be right here, once favors start being handed out, everybody wants one. So we're extending this power and creating more of a reason for people to expend resources to get the special favor, to get the power grab. And that creates its own set of wasted resources and problematic outcomes.
All right. And from tariffs to the future of the front porch itself. I'll be moving up to Vermont in early May. And so, you know, we've been talking about what to do about the front porch because I am not just the host. I'm the producer and the editor and lots of other things. Jesse and Rick, you guys made your case to the leadership team here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting about what you think should happen. You talk about that?
Well, I mean, we don't want to unleash the beast of like screaming public opinion. We don't want peasants with pitchforks to flood the parking lot of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. But just saying that there is like civil discourse, people talking about things about which they disagree in a way that doesn't involve throwing chairs or throwing dollies at buses or whatever.
Usually.
And, yeah. That there might be a place for that. And they've been around for 3 years now and consistency. And apparently quite a few people listen to it, apparently. Possibly even voluntarily. Well, Jesse, help me out.
Well, yeah, that I think that this is, this program is a really great demonstration of people with very different opinions coming together, and we disagree sometimes more forcefully than others, like, you know, during the teacher's strike. But we don't paint each other in the worst light. We don't try to caricature positions. And we do try to substantively engage the way that, you know, nobody does on Facebook or Twitter or the other, you know, cesspools of social media and the internet. Rick's got, you know, a very liberal perspective. Fiscally, I'm going to be much more conservative, although I would self-identify libertarian. And the beauty of this is in its simplicity. It's laid out from the beginning, who's offering what perspective, and then everybody can kind of take from it what they want.
You know, one other thought. I'm going to give you props during your time here. You know, this doesn't happen very often, but seriously, I find myself listening a lot more. There's more talk on the radio and less, I mean, not that I have anything against classical music in limited doses. I think that's one good thing that's happened on your tenure here.
I appreciate it. I mean, so why did this start? West Virginia Public Broadcasting has a history of commentary on the air in different formats. You might remember, Rick, back in the day, we had individuals in the community come in and read their commentary.
Yeah.
And then that went away. It kind of comes and goes in cycles. And when I got here, I wanted to bring back commentary and opinion in a civil way on the air. And that was the front porch. And part of it was because I wanted to do it and it was fun. But part of it was to try to do it in a way that didn't tax the resources of the organization. We're a $10 million organization that's had $2 million worth of state budget cuts over the last 5 years. So we've tried to make up a lot of that with extra fundraising. You can help by calling 1-800-RADIO-87 or pledging online at wvpublic.org. But it's been tough. And so I was able to do this on my own time. And I edited it at night. It's something that takes probably about, you know, somewhere around 4 to 8 hours a week. So the leadership team looked at your proposals and they have decided that what we do here is really important, that they want to protect opinion on the air. And yet there's a lot that is in flux in the organization right now. We're going to be going through a CEO search that's going to take several months. And it's going to be hard for them to take on new things on top of what they're already doing with this search and everything. So the front porch is going to go on hiatus.
Sabbatical.
That's a nice way of putting it. That's academic. They want to get opinion on the air. In some ways, I think there's a desire to do more of it and maybe get it on TV as well as radio. There's ideas like that. So it won't exist in exactly the same format in exactly the same way forever. But I do think that once we figure out our leadership here, that there will be there'll be interest in trying to get opinion on the air. And whether it's called the front porch or whether it's something else, I know there's a commitment to it. But I appreciate the what you guys have done. Jesse and Rick, every single week, coming in here, as Rick would remind you, for no pay.
You know, we're worth it.
It's a lot of energy and time that you do too. And this is my job, but this is, you know, just something that you're doing as community service, basically, you and your organizations. And so I thank you. And I think that we'll figure out a way to keep opinion alive on the air, a civil conversation. I'm not sure exactly what it'll look like yet. And I hope you guys keep the pressure on the organization to make sure that this sort of conversation doesn't stop.
There you go.
There you go. And that's the front porch, which we're going to do, you know, a few more of these to the end of April. Let us know what you think, by the way. You can tweet at me at Radio Finn. You are
El Cabrero.
El Cabrero. And
JL Troyan underscore WV.
All right. Look us up on Twitter. Let us know what you want to talk about these last few front porches before I take off. Like I said, I am Scott Finn. That was Jesse Troyan of the Cardinal Institute and Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Take care. You belong.
sail away, kill off the hour.